Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning as we begin. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, your word is powerful. Lord, I feel so insufficient. My ability is not that I can accomplish anything in really anyone's heart or life, but Lord, you can. And I pray that your word and your spirit would work in us today, in our heart, in our spirit. Lord, if we need to be convicted about something, then convict us. If we need to be comforted about something, then please comfort us. But Lord, please take the truth of this message and the truth of this word and use it in our hearts to help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on this little thought, embrace the cross, embrace the cross. And this morning, I'm not necessarily going to mean it just in the aspect of, you know, embracing the cross and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, but embrace the cross, bearing a cross, maybe at times carrying the cross. Embrace the cross. Embrace what comes with it many times. Sometimes we are asked to carry a cross, and sometimes we may go through suffering and difficulty in our lives. But I encourage you to embrace that cross and get God to help you carry that cross in your life so that you might know His power and blessing in your life in a wonderful way. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to embrace the cross. Which is a little bit like saying that we need to embrace suffering and we need to embrace death. And the truth is that we do need to embrace it when suffering comes in our life. If that suffering was for that purpose of God being able to work in us and mold us and make us more like Christ. We need to embrace the thought of the cross or the thought of dying in our life if it means dying to self and dying to our sin nature and letting Christ live in our lives and letting Christ live through us. Listen, if there was no crucifixion, there could be no resurrection. You know, the cross is significant to us as believers because of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. And listen, that's important. We love the resurrection. It'd be wonderful to just talk about the resurrection and how Jesus rose from the grave. But he never would have risen from the grave if he did not first die on the cross and suffer on the cross. The suffering came first. Listen, if there was no death on the cross, there could be no resurrected life. No crucifixion, no resurrection. No death on the cross, no resurrected life. If there was no suffering, then there could be no resurrection power and victory. You really can't just take the one without the other also coming with it. There's no resurrection without first being death and dying. There's no victory without there first being the cross. There's no power without there first being suffering. Look what the Bible says with me, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look there at verse number 21. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Oh, the resurrection is wonderful, but first came the cross, first came death, first came suffering. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He actually began to correct Jesus and rebuke Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. This isn't going to happen to you. I'd never let this happen to you. Verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You're acting like Satan. Don't you try to stop me from going to the cross. I need to go to the cross so that a way of salvation can be made. I need to go to the cross to pay for the sins of mankind. I need to go to the cross and I need to suffer and I need to die. That's all necessary. Otherwise, Peter, you'd never be able to be saved. Otherwise, Peter, you'd have no hope of eternal life. Notice what he says. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Said, you don't understand that this is God's plan, and this is a part of God's way, you know, for man to be redeemed and man to be saved. If you try to stop me from going to the cross and stop me from suffering and don't let me die and be killed like I'm supposed to be, then you'd have no way of salvation. You think you know you're doing what's best, but you don't understand God's will. It's God's will for me to suffer, Jesus said. It's God's will for me to die. It's God's will for me to be killed. You know, it wasn't Romans who killed Jesus. It wasn't Jews who killed Jesus. It was God's plan. God's plan sent Jesus down to earth to be killed, to die as a lamb, to be slaughtered, to have his blood shed, to suffer and die and be killed so that we could have a way of salvation. Jesus told Peter, you don't understand the will of God. It says, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if you're really going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, what does it say? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself and embrace the cross. Take up the cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Christ was going to suffer. Christ was going to be killed before the resurrection could ever happen. In verses 24 and 25, Jesus taught the disciples, and he was trying to teach us also that the way to have life is to die to self. You want to know life? It's first going to come through dying. Dying to self. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You want to gain life? You want to gain that abundant life? You want to gain the life that God has for you? Then be willing to lose your life to gain the life that he wants to give you. The way to have life is to die to self. The way to have power is through suffering. The way to resurrected living comes through dying on a cross. I'm not sure if any of you know of Patch the Pirate. Is he still living as far as we know, Patch the Pirate? Some of you have heard of Patch the Pirate. His real name is Ron Hamilton. And he is a man who, when he was just a young man, he, 27, that old, he lost his eye or his, I got an eye disease, whatever. He had to have his eye taken out. He went into the doctor and, you know, they could do nothing to help him. His eye had to be taken out. And so when the surgery was over, there was a patch over his eye and so on. And he started going to church again, and he was wearing a patch. And, you know, kids in the church started calling him Patch. Hey, Patch. Hey, Patch. Well, from this suffering, from this trial, from this young man becoming, you know, losing his eye and having to wear a patch, well, he ended up becoming this character called Patch the Pirate. And he ended up writing over the years, you know, probably 30 some, I would guess, of what are these Patch the Pirate adventures. And they're full of their stories, their lessons, their stories that teach character and teach truths of the Bible. There's lots of singing and music through them. Patch the Pirate adventures. Some of our children have grown up listening to Patch the Pirate CDs and hearing his songs and hearing his music. He wrote the song that Trisha actually played during the offertory called, Oh, Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth. You know what? The Lord does know. And he wrote, God makes no mistakes. Patch the Pirate realized, Ron Hamilton realized that, hey, it was no mistake. Though we could look at it and say, oh, it was a tragedy. Oh, why did he have to endure that? He said, this is my cross that I must bear. I'm going to embrace that cross that God brought into my life. I'm going to accept that cross that God gave me to carry. And though I may be a blind man the rest of my life, and though I may blinded in one eye, though I may wear this patch the rest of my this patch across my head the rest of my life, I'm going to embrace that cross. I'm going to accept that cross that God has given me to carry. And I'm going to let God be glorified through my life because of it. And he was. You know, maybe people never would have known Ron Hamilton, but now, really, people all over the world that, you know, if you've grown up in a church like ours and so on, people have gotten Patch the Pirate music and Patch the Pirate CDs and all the songs this man has written. And God has been glorified through his life. Why? Because he chose to accept a cross that God gave him to carry. He chose to embrace the cross that God put into his life. And what did he do? He didn't get angry at God. He just denied himself and took up that cross and followed Jesus. He embraced that cross. He embraced that suffering. He embraced that trial for his life. And God has been greatly glorified as a result of it. I want to share a few statements, a few thoughts this morning. The pathway to power leads through the cross. The pathway to power leads through the cross. The way to resurrected living is going to come from dying on a cross. We see that in what Jesus told the disciples. You know, our task as preachers of the gospel is to call people to the cross. We want to embrace the resurrection, and that's a wonderful thing, but Jesus also calls us to embrace the cross. To embrace the cross. There would be no resurrection without first the cross. The pathway to power leads through the cross. The pathway to resurrected living leads to first there being a cross, there being dying. You know, many times we meet people that have a problem with the cross. People may wonder how a man who seemingly had all power to perform miracles could die on the cross. People might hear some of the stories that are recorded in the Gospels in the New Testament and think, what? You're Jesus you're talking about? Oh, he healed sick people. Yes, he did. Oh, he took five loaves and two fishes and he multiplied it and fed thousands of people on the hillside of Galilee? Yes, he did. He raised dead men to live again? Yes. Yes, he did. He took crippled men and made them so that they could walk again? Yes. Yes, he did all that. And he's got power to do all that. But when it came time for him to go to the cross, he very humbly, he very willingly put out his arms and stretched out his arms and allowed them to nail him to that cross. He went that night to the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, knowing that the soldiers would come to take him away. He wasn't off somewhere hiding and saying, no, I don't want it. I don't want to go to the cross. No, he embraced the cross. He accepted that trial. He was willing to go through that suffering and experience that death. Why? Because it was the way that God was going to be glorified. Sometimes people might wonder, well, how could somebody with all that power, you know, just die on a cross like that? Remember how some of the people, even near the cross, they kind of mocked him and said, oh, he had power to save others, but himself he cannot save? No, he did have power to save himself if he wanted to, but he chose to die. He was embracing the cross. He realized that death and suffering must come before he would be resurrected, before he would ascend to be next to the Heavenly Father, before he would one day be glorified. He accepted it. Those who had seen his power wondered why he seemed powerless at his greatest time of greatest need. Those who saw his intelligence wondered how someone so smart could seemingly miscalculate things so badly. But most sides missed what Jesus and the Father were saying. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Some of them just missed it. Peter, we saw, he missed it. He missed it. When Jesus told them, I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to suffer. Peter said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. I'm not going to let that happen. He missed it. He missed it. Jesus was embracing the cross. He knew that death and suffering and so on must come before the resurrection and before the glorification and so on. The Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 23 and 24. John chapter 12 verse 23 and 24 says, "And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come." In other words, the time is come, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, a farmer could have some bags of corn. You know, the grains of corn, the seed corn that gets planted in the ground. But if he just keeps it on the back of his truck, if he just keeps it in the barn and never plants it in the ground, it's never going to produce anything, will it? And Jesus made that comparison to what he was about to go through. He said, the time has come. And unless I like a seed of corn, unless I get planted in the ground and die, I won't accomplish what I came to accomplish. Just as a corn must be planted in the ground and it must die in order to then grow and have a stalk grow up and produce ears of corn and produce life. In other words, listen, Jesus Christ, he had to die. He had to die, and he understood that, and he embraced that. He embraced the cross. He embraced death. He embraced suffering. He embraced that trial because he knew that was what would produce life. That through his death, many people could believe on the Lord Jesus, and they could have eternal life. Why are so many of you here, even sitting in church this morning? Because Jesus died on the cross. He was buried for us. He suffered for us, but he rose again. And ever since then, you know what? People have been going around. Followers of Jesus have been going around. Disciples have been going around telling people, hey, you've got to know what Jesus did for us. Nathan and Alice and David and Michael and James, why are we in church here this morning? It's because somebody has told you about this Jesus, the Son of God, who suffered and died. He embraced the cross. He accepted the cross. Because that, we know that we can have eternal life now through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see, that was necessary. The death and the suffering, his being killed, that was all necessary. There is no being glorified without first being crucified. There's no resurrection power without first dying to our sinful nature. There's no life without Christ. Likewise, we cannot have that resurrection power changing our life and making us new creatures in Christ Jesus unless we die to self. Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We're to die to self and die to our old sinful flesh nature that Christ might live through us. That Christ's resurrection power might change our life. You know, if we just refuse to die to self, if we just, you know, want to be in the flesh and so on, we refuse to die to self, then we are not letting the Lord have his way. There will not be resurrection power changing your life and making you what Christ wants you to be if you continually rebel against that or refuse against it. I don't want that. I don't want that. The life of a Christian is not a life of just, you know, me living for me and doing what I want. No, we're supposed to die so that Christ can live in us, so that Christ can live through us. There's no resurrection power without first dying. No life without death. Listen, do you want to be a fruitful Christian with the power and blessing of God upon your life? There cannot be fruit without there first being death and dying. There cannot be a fruitful Christian life without you dying to self and letting the Lord work in you and produce in you, through you, what he wants to do. You know, it wasn't just the people of Jesus' day that had a problem with the cross. The people that we speak to week after week, many of them have a problem with the cross also. Religious-minded people, they sometimes want miracles. They sometimes want some display of power. Intellectually minded people, they sometimes want wisdom and truth. What God offers us first of all, though, is the cross. The cross. He offers us the cross. Look what the Bible says with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Sometimes people might, you know, they have this mind and they're looking for something very smart. They're looking for something very, very intelligent. And oh, there's got to be something higher, something greater. But you know what? The way of salvation, the way of the cross is very simple. It's very simple. And sometimes the intellectual mind may have difficulty in accepting what? You know, the way of salvation, the way of eternal life, it's not just to the wise, it's not just to the wealthy, it's not just to the religious, it's not just to... No, it's to none of them, really. It's to the ones who will humbly realize that Christ's death on the cross, that was sufficient. That was what was necessary to purchase our salvation. Oh, there's great power in the cross. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. Somebody could preach about the cross. They could preach about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And to them that perish, to them that rejected and so on, to them it's just, oh, that's foolishness. That's foolish preaching. You're going to try to tell me about some man, and you're going to try to convince me he was the Son of God, and you're going to say he died and was buried and rose again, and you expect me to believe all that? By faith, I do expect you to believe that. By faith. God wants you to be saved by faith. By humbly being willing to trust him. You know, salvation doesn't come to the intellectual, the one with that brilliant mind who they can figure everything out and they can explain everything. You know what? There are going to be things about God that are unexplainable to us. But by faith we believe God. By faith we trust God. By faith we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross and he suffered for us and he died to save us from our sins. He's the Savior of the world. That's what pleases God. It pleases him when we, in simple faith, will just accept, okay, the cross is God's way. Sometimes people think, well, there's got to be some better way. And so they try through the religion, and they try through their good works, and they try through the rituals and this and that to please God. But that's not what pleases God. What pleases him is simple faith in the cross, accepting what Jesus did. For the preaching of the cross, look at it, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. But to unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The smart alecks, they think they know it all, they got some other way. I'll destroy that. And I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews, they require a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Show us. Really prove to us. And some of them were still waiting for a sign, although he really gave many signs. Because they wanted a sign, they didn't accept Christ. They rejected Christ. They rejected Jesus. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know what? There is power in the cross to save anyone who will believe on Jesus Christ alone. Man's wisdom looks for something more complicated. Man's wisdom sometimes tries to think, well, there's got to be something more to it. You can't possibly tell me that just by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting in the gospel, you really mean that I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be forgiven, I'm going to go to heaven? Yes, I do mean that. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he left heaven and came down to earth to die for us. He suffered and died. Listen, he embraced the cross. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. And all you and I have to do is accept Jesus Christ. Believe on God. Believe on Jesus Christ. Trust him. And him alone is our personal Savior. And you can have God's gift of salvation. You can know for sure without any doubts that heaven's your home. You have eternal life. You're a child of God. But if you're
in your wisdom, maybe thinking, well, there's got to be more to it than that. Surely there's got to be some things that I've got to do. No, you've got to just believe. Remember what we said in Sunday school? The gospel can be preached, but it only profits those who will have faith. The gospel can be preached, but it must be mixed with faith. You must simply have faith to believe it. Faith to believe it. Man's wisdom sometimes looks for something more complicated, but God's way says there is power in the cross. It was God's own wise and infinite plan that led Christ to the cross, to the place of suffering, before there ever was a resurrection. Another thought, the cross represents the beginning of change. The cross represents the beginning of change. We'll sing a song sometimes that goes like this. It says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. The cross. The cross. That's where I saw the light. That's where I really came to understand the truth. That's where all the burdens of my heart got rolled away from me. That's where the burden and weight of my sin that made me guilty and ashamed before God, that's where it was all rolled away. Because when you accept the cross, when you accept what Christ did on the cross for you, and you trust Him alone as your personal Savior, what happens? Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Listen, all the sins on your account, all the sins on your record, they are all rolled away from you. They're all taken away from you. Because of your faith in the cross, your faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, your faith in the Savior, the Son of God. If a person wants a new beginning in life, come to the cross. You know, to have a change in life, a new beginning in life, it doesn't come, well, you know what, I think I'm going to sign up for yoga. That's how I can get a new change. You don't need yoga, you need Jesus. Well, I just want a new beginning, a new change. Okay, so you're going to start a new weight loss plan. You're going to start at a new fitness club. It's going to change my life. No, you need Jesus. More than you need any kind of meditation thing or any games thing or any new diet thing. No, the one that can bring a new change in your life, the one that can make your life different, it's Jesus Christ. And come to the cross. Embrace the cross. If a person wants a new beginning in life, come to the cross. If a person wants their life to be changed, come to the cross. Come to the cross. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 6, the Bible says this. Knowing this, that our old man, now that's not this, you know, this world's kind of slang term of, you know, calling a father, he's your old man. That's kind of foolish talk and maybe even kind of disrespectful to fathers. Okay? But what the Bible is saying, your old man, your old sinful nature, your old flesh nature before you got saved. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, in other words, from this point forward, that we should not serve sin. And we could go through Romans 6 and learn a lot. But listen, Christ came so that our life could be changed. Christ came to give us the gift of eternal life. Christ died and suffered on the cross so that we could be saved and have eternal life. Christ came and died for us. He wants us to have power over the penalty of sin. That we're saved, we have eternal life, but also just power over the control of sin in our life, that it doesn't have to control us. Before we got saved, the Bible says we were the servants of sin. But we don't have to serve sin any longer if we get saved, because Christ comes in and He makes us a new creature. He makes us different. He changes us. Christ wants to change your life. He wants to alter your behavior, my behavior. You know, once you've been to the cross, things change. Things start to change. Stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom. You know, when we think about Resurrection Sunday, we think of, you know, Christ rising up from the grave. The Easter time, many times people think about, you know, the resurrection. But you know what? There'd be no resurrection if there wasn't first a cross. If there wasn't first a grave, a burial, death, suffering, sorrow. No cross, no resurrection, no death, no life. It was the road for Christ. And you know what? It's the road for us sometimes in life as well. That before God displays His power in your life in a big way, that maybe you have to first embrace a cross. That before you experience victory in your life, you have to die to self in that sinful flesh nature and let Christ have His way in your life. You know, sometimes those people that God uses the greatest are those people that have maybe experienced some hurts the deepest. Maybe God has then glorified them and God has raised them up and God has lifted them up, or God has blessed them with a ministry, or God has done great things in life simply because first they suffered. First they experienced a cross that they had to bear. If we're going to come after Christ, right, we've got to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Him. Be willing to accept that cross. Be willing to bear that cross. You know what? I'm sure Pastor Paulus, some of you know them, and they were with us back in mid-June. They lived for many years as a married couple and didn't have any children. For finally God gave them a son. That first child they had was John Paulus. And John Paulus, you know, after 2-3 years, they began to realize that you know, there's something wrong. He's not like, you know, the normal child, if you will. And John Paulus has autism. And John must be, I think, 20, maybe 20 years old now. You know what? That bearing that, going through that trial and that time of suffering and longing for a child and not having a child, that having a child and then having an autistic son, that's maybe been a bit of a cross to bear, right? You understand, like, you know, they'll likely care for that son the rest of his life. They'll have always had to, not had to, it's a blessing, but you know, they'll have had to care for a son in a unique way with its maybe unique differences and challenges. Sometimes that's a cross. A little bit of a trial, if you will, that we bear in individual families. People bear different things. But I guarantee you, the palaces would tell you that, you know, God used that in their life, and God has used that to allow them to minister to so many other people. Through the experience, or that cross, if you will, of raising up a child that's been autistic, it's allowed them to meet so many people they never would have met, to be able to share the gospel with so many people that they never would have met otherwise. And that was maybe a trial, if you will, a cross in their life that they had to bear. But through that, God's been glorified. Through that, many people have come to know the Lord because of how their life has been different than it otherwise ever would have been. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes the cross we must bear is what God might use to be glorified through our lives. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul greatly desired to know Christ better. He greatly desired to know Christ better. But he knew that knowing Christ better would not first come without some suffering. Some suffering. In Philippians chapter 3, tells us this, beginning in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I was willing to count some things lost for Christ that I could know Him better. Verse number 10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings and being made conformable unto His death. He said, for me to know Him like I really want to know Him, for me to experience His resurrection power in my life like I really want His power, I first had to go through some sufferings. And listen, the Apostle Paul went through suffering.
The Apostle Paul went through deep trials. The Apostle Paul had his own cross that he had to bear. He had physical difficulties. He had health difficulties. He many times was imprisoned for his faith, for his preaching. He was beaten different times. Listen, the Apostle Paul did not just have some easy, carefree little life where everything was, you know, I'm sailing on an ocean cruise and I'm on this beautiful yacht and everything's wonderful. No, he experienced shipwreck many times. He did not have an easy life. He had trials and suffering, crosses he had to bear. But those crosses that he embraced were what allowed him to really know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and experience his power and a blessing to be used in a mighty way like the Apostle Paul was used. Can I ask you something? Ask myself this question. What are you and I willing to give up to know him better? So Paul said, I count these things as loss so that I can know Christ. I'd be willing to lose some things. I'd be willing to give up some things. I'd be willing to deny myself. I'd be willing to bear a cross, go through a trial in my life, bear a cross in my life, if that's what would allow God's power to be displayed in my life in a greater way. I'd be willing to bear a cross if that would allow Christ to be more glorified through my life. I'd be willing to bear a cross and suffer and go through a deep trial if that would be what would allow me to get to know my Lord Jesus Christ better. That's what Paul said. Look at 1 Peter 4 and we'll be finished. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. What are you willing to give up to know him better? How much are you willing to suffer that you might know him better? It is going to be through trials, through suffering, through bearing a cross, through embracing a cross, that may be the path to you and I knowing God's power and blessing and glorifying and help and strength and usefulness and so on. It may be through those things that we know God's power in our life in a greater way. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look what it says, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 to 14. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. Peter says, don't think it strange. Don't think it strange if you have to carry a cross. Don't think it's strange if you have to bear a cross in your life. Didn't your Savior bear a cross? Didn't your Savior carry a cross? Didn't your Savior embrace the cross and die for you and suffer for you so that you could be saved? Don't think it's strange if you have to embrace a cross in your life as well. Don't think it's strange if you as a follower of Christ have to deny yourself and take up a cross and follow him. Sometimes we have to be partakers of suffering and partakers of trials and partakers of a cross so that Christ might be glorified, so that God might use us in a better way. You know, sometimes that cross, sometimes that trial, sometimes that suffering, sometimes it's because God knows he needs to maybe do things in our heart or do things in our life to purify us, to purify our heart, to purify our life, to purify our motives. Sometimes it's just that God is going to use a display of his power and his strength and his goodness in our life to be that thing that gives us an opportunity to influence other people. Just like Patch the Pirate's life, it would not have influenced all the people around the world that it's influenced without him first bearing a cross. Some of you met Virginia Harris recently. Maybe she spoke at the ladies' meeting, I think, didn't she? And a lot of you know this story, but when they she was Canadian, she was from Niagara Falls, but her husband was from the States. And they had been pastoring and serving at a church in West Virginia, and God called them to come to Canada. And they packed up their U-Haul truck, they packed up all their vehicles, and they were moving from West Virginia into Canada. But as they were leaving West Virginia, they were going through the hills of West Virginia on a rainy day. And they went over one hill, and and saw that somebody was pulled off to the side of the road. Somebody had maybe spun out or had an accident or whatever, and people were at the side of the road, and they were going to stop to see if they could help them. And so they slowed down, and they pulled over, you know, with Brother Harris driving, pulled over in the U-Haul truck, and Mrs. Harris driving a van. She pulled over behind them there. And again, rainy days, slippery roads, these hilly roads to West Virginia, and they were getting out of their vehicles and going to go to try to help this other people that had been in an accident and just in the rainy roads slipped and went off the roads and got in an accident. And as they were getting out to try to help people, another person came over that hill and lost control on those wet, slippery roads, and their vehicle, again, spinning out of control, went and hit Mrs. Harris and slammed her up against the U-Haul truck. Mrs. Harris was rushed to hospital. She was spent over a month, maybe a couple months, I forget how long, in a hospital there in West Virginia. She was hurt very badly, damaged very badly internally. And well, one of her legs ended up needing to be amputated. And she lost one of her legs entirely, and for years since then, she's lived with prosthesis legs, and you know, time to time, you switch, get a new leg, and this and that. They went through a great trial. They went through a long period of time where he was there in a hospital thinking his wife would die. But God spared her life. God taught them many things during that time. They ended up writing a little book called That We May Be Able to Comfort. And from the comfort that they experienced from God, they learned how they could comfort other people and help other people. They went through a deep trial. They bore a cross. They had to embrace a cross that God brought into their life. Times and even lengthy time, and even maybe to this day, some things that still affect from that accident. But they've borne a cross. They've carried a cross through their life. They've had a trial. They've had suffering in their life. But through that, God has used them in a wonderful way. And they still eventually one day made it to Canada, and they made it to Welland, Ontario, and they did start a church in Welland. The Beacon Baptist Church in Welland has been blessed of God, and it's reached many people, and they've influenced many people, and their lives have also been a great testimony to comfort other people. And if you know Mrs. Harris, you know she's got a wonderful, joyful spirit of trusting the Lord and so on. God has used them, but listen, God was glorified through the cross and suffering and trial that they were called to carry. Listen, you and I may have to embrace a cross in our own life. You may go through some trials and suffering in your life that at first you may want to think, I don't understand this. Why would God do this to me? Why would God let this happen in my life? Does God not love me? Wait a minute. It may be that God just wants to do something in your life so that He can be greatly glorified. He may want to do something that will in fact help to glorify you, if you will, that will raise you up, that will give you influence, that will bring your life into a point of blessing and usefulness for Christ that you otherwise never would have had. God the Father loved His Son, Jesus, but He sent His Son into the world to die and suffer and be killed for us, to bear a cross for us. Why? Because He wanted us to have life. Wanted us to have life. Understand that there may be a cross in your life that you have to bear at times, but there's a purpose in it. And seek God in that and trust God through that. Don't turn against Him. Hey, it may be in your life that God wants to display His resurrection power to make you a new creature, make you a new person. But maybe you stubbornly just say, I don't want to live for Him. We do have to deny ourselves and take up the cross to follow Christ. We do have to die to our own self-will and sinfulness and selfishness to really let Christ, let the Holy Spirit change us and make us what He wants to make us. There's a yieldedness that needs to take place, Romans 6. Will you do that? Will you yield to Him? Are you be willing to die
so that he can live through you? A lot to think about.